Hey, this is Dawn.
And Lana.
And this is another episode of Screw It, a podcast about wine. Wine improves with age.
We improve with wine.
Well, Lana and I are having a very special wine drinking event.
Oh, special doesn't begin to describe it.
I know. We are at Console here in Minnesota. This is the first Doctor Who convention in how long?
20 years.
20 years. And we have some wonderful people with us that we just met based on their wine choices. This is Michelle.
Yes.
And we also have...
Kat.
Hi, you guys.
Hi.
How are you involved in Console?
I run the consuite.
Oh, well, thank God for you.
I'm in charge of the masquerade and the hall costumes.
Oh, great. Now, oh, I feel like I know you already.
Well, you should, because we did a show together for Rose Johnson. We did David Mamet's.
You did costumes for that.
Yes, I did. I dressed you.
You're a costumer?
Yes, so am I.
We both did things together.
Do you know that robe, that blue robe that I bought off of you, I still use today?
See?
And I love that robe, and it's my favorite robe in the whole world.
Bobby Gould in hell. Thank you. I've been sitting here trying to remember
Most
it.
Most non-theater people don't understand how much actors love really good costumes.
Well, you can come in if you want.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It's okay.
No, we have someone else joining us. Who's this?
Did I leave my crap in here?
Yes.
We will get your crap back to you in just a moment. We promise.
Get your crap out of here. Your crap is coming soon.
Okay, so costumers.
Costumers. Yes. Good costumers. Actors will request, please, can we have this costume? Because they make us look good.
And they make or break us.
And honestly, that's always been my goal. My thought is, I am the last layer.
Hello! There's someone else coming in.
Another costumer. I'm the last layer of the role for an actor.
Absolutely.
I give you the last layer of that character. That's what I always want to do.
It's true.
Most of us are trained that inside-out thing, the little flame, the Stravinsky... Stanislavski.
I know,
the whole method acting, but there's also the outside in, and sometimes your costume piece or your prop is that last little thing that all of a sudden, that turns the key for your character. And it's like, okay, I've got it now.
Well, good thing we're not...
And that's what booze do. That's what I like to do.
Oh, and it's wonderful. So thanks for that robe. I love it. It's so warm. So, but why we started this whole recording at the consuite of Console is because Michelle showed us her wine, which is...
Crap wine.
It's red crap. It's crap spelled with two P's, and so we had to talk about that. So have you tried the wine?
Oh, yes.
And you
I had the white crap, and this is the red crap.
It sounds like a plague.
Oh, I tell you, we had more fun giving each other crap.
About the crap.
Every crap joke you could come up with, we had going.
Oh, dearie me.
So, I mean, where did you pick up your bottle?
Okay, this is the fun part.
Oh, good.
Oh, it gets better.
Oh, yes.
And not just better with years either.
My family is from a very, very small town in Iowa.
How small?
500 when it was big.
When people were awake, it was 500?
Yeah, something like that.
Awesome. Yeah. My other grandmother lived in a town that had about 100, 150. So, I mean, yes.
Wow.
Okay. But in order to get to that super small town, you drive through a not quite as bad small town.
Uh-huh.
It is Humboldt, Iowa.
I know of that.
I've heard of it.
Okay, well,
it's a road sign when you're going south on 35.
That must be how I know of it.
You have to be over on 169. Anyhow, you go through, and you're taking Highway 3 and headed west towards Pocahontas out of Humboldt.
Oh dear.
And there is
so many things we can say.
Just keep.
I'm shutting up now.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, and I know this town, and I know. Yeah, a lot of years going in and out, spending my summer vacations there, whatever. And I looked over one day and went, is that a winery?
In Humboldt?
Yep. I feel the same way. It must be a mirage.
It's been too long since I've had a glass. I'm hallucinating.
Yeah, I've done that.
Okay. So the next time we were down, we go to that classy Vintner, of all goods, the Hy-Vee liquor store.
Yep, yep, yep. At least it wasn't the come and go.
Well, no. Or the Casey's.
Yep, yeah, Casey's.
But,
yeah.
But we were at the Hy-Vee liquor store, and we found a display rack of various Iowa wines, including some from the Humboldt Winery. And we bought a couple, and this was really good. And there was actually some very tasty stuff.
Oh, wow. You gave me one for my birthday or Christmas last year.
Amazing. Yeah.
But and so, okay, this is nice. Well, my daughter goes down for Thanksgiving one year and brings back my Christmas gift of a bottle of white crap from the Humboldt Winery.
Your daughter loves it.
Pure love.
Absolutely.
And when we went down to a convention a couple weeks ago in Des Moines, we had told this friend of mine about white crap wine and the bees yak mead they made.
Bees yak mead.
It's incredibly sweet.
It's almost boilingly sweet.
That makes my mouth water.
It sounds like something we drink at Rum Fest.
Fest. That's a fest on a hot day. Oh yeah, you can slam back the bees yak.
Bees yak. Okay, that makes perfect sense. Okay. Wow. Okay. Wow. You know, wow. Uh-huh. Savory and, even.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably after a long day of bean walking. But you know,
there you go.
Of what?
Bean walking.
Bean walking.
You walk the beans and you weed. My husband is from Le Sueur.
Oh, yeah, he knows.
Before he graduated to driving the forklift in. Imagine Steve as a teenager driving a forklift.
I think you guys are making this up.
No.
No, honey.
One year, he walked beans.
Well, I know about corn the task. I know about rock the task.
So you... So walking the beans is you walk the rows of the beans and you weed.
Yep. With a corn knife.
With corn knife.
Or pulling them.
And it is one of the worst jobs other than...
Detasseling.
Well, no, picking rock sucks.
Rock picking sucks.
No. Yeah. Rock picking is bad, but you don't necessarily do that in the mud with the plants up to your waist.
Okay.
You have to do that before you put the plants in the ground.
Yeah, one of my friends grew up on a farm, and it was her job to pick rock. And because they had such a big farm, and I swear to you, 6 to 12-inch rocks.
Oh, I know.
I've done rock picking. Year.
Yeah, rock picking.
It's like
dinosaur egg
frost.
Yeah,
frost is a nasty little
song. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Okay, so you got the wine, and you love it.
And
obviously,
and so I forgot it in the chaos of things leaving the last hotel. So my dear friend Kat made sure to bring it to me
today.
That's
so sweet.
So
I brought her crap.
Oh, you brought and hand-delivered
her crap. And hand-delivered her crap right to her.
And is it at room temperature crap?
It's room temperature crap. And it has a lovely story of the crap family on the back of the label.
Would you please read it to us?
Okay. The crap family story is a long one.
No. Oh, dear.
However, now... Okay. I can't read it.
I was going to say, good on you. You're not wearing glasses.
Okay, well, I'm wearing contacts.
And if I need to, I'll pull out my cheaters for this. The Kraft family story is a long one. However, for now, we'll be kept simple. Jack Kraft met his wife, Anita, in the local township schoolhouse on the prairie.
Humboldt Brewery, I'm assuming.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
A few years after their marriage, Anita gave birth to twin babies, a boy, Buster, and their daughter, Lucy.
So they didn't love their children, apparently.
Apparently not. Buster Crab.
Yeah.
Crap.
Buster Crab.
Crap. Buster Crab. Sorry.
Buster Crab.
There you go. Uh-huh. Buster and Lucy
reversed. Loose Crab. Yep. It's getting better and better.
Or worse and worse.
Yeah.
Yes!
No, okay. We can laugh because it isn't us. Go on.
Exactly. That's true. Go on.
Buster and Lucy,
crap,
referred to by Jack as the little squirts.
Oh, my God.
Enjoyed caring for their three pets. Oh, gosh. Here we go. A three-legged dog named King Crap. Their mule named Mr.
Crap.
Tiggs.
Mr. Tiggs. Crap.
Not as funny.
Mr. Takes a Crap.
Oh.
There it is. There it is. I'm all about poop
jokes. And a bull.
And a bull named
Bull Crap.
I feel so much smarter.
There you go. That would be the simple story of the crap family.
Well, we are delighted that you shared the simple story with us, yes. and we are very thankful that we got to meet you two, and yes. we got to reunite. Yes. And so I'm sure you guys are going to be busy at console for the rest of the weekend.
I actually come visit us more.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we got the badge for doing our show. So.
And I went ahead and we had a whole costume contest tonight.
Oh, wow.
And for a very first year with maybe, I think, 500 attendants, we had 20 entries. Our 19 entries. 19 entries.
Wow. And so Masquerade was tonight?
No,
that was just hall costumes.
That was just hall costumes.
Dang, that's awesome.
So,
okay, so this is what, the fourth time this man has walked in wondering where his wine is?
Because I know where the crap is.
Okay.
Jason would like to.
Okay.
Oh, well, party's over.
He's got work
Thank
to
you
do.
Very much, ladies. We really appreciate you being guests.
Thank you for
and,
your crap.
And just enjoying our crap
and
with us.
And we have a problem. We don't have a corkscrew, so we can't drink
what?
Our crap.
I think I have one. Hold on. And now we're back again at Console Room. It's Dawn.
And Lana.
And we're here with the super fabulous people that actually set up the production of Midnight. It was a Doctor Who episode that was staged for performance at Console Room. And we're here with...
Bethany Simmons.
Yay!
And Adam Sharp.
And they're both drinking wine. So let's ask them, what kind of wine are you guys drinking?
I am drinking a Cabernet.
Me too.
Yeah, yes. It's a house... cab at the hotel.
Yeah, that's what we were having too.
Nice.
Yeah, house cab. I had a $12 Long Island before the show started. I was like, I'm a Long Island. That'd be $12. Like, okay, but you know what? It was good. I feel like I'm a Long Island connoisseur.
Yeah.
I get so pissed when if somebody, I go somewhere, pay $8, $9 for just water practically, and I it ruins my night. But no, this was a great Long Island, and this is a great wine so far.
So are you saying you actually needed a Long Island to watch our show?
No.
Yes, I think that's what he said.
It was more like, you know what, I'm having one. You've earned it. I'm having this.
Certainly earned it.
So let's chill now. I can just relax for finally.
Those were some intense rehearsals.
Super intense rehearsals.
Yes.
Do you feel so? Okay.
Oh, I would come home.
Not in a bad way.
No, not in a bad way, but I'd be drained at the end. Oh, and my shoulders would be all tense.
So what would you say, just from running those scenes?
Yes.
What made it?
It was the emotions, obviously,
yes.
because this is the episode of Midnight. This was, season 11, episode 4?
David Tennant.
Yes. So it's very...
And Catherine Tate was his companion.
Yep.
It's a lot... Where she isn't actually in most of,
no.
right.
of it.
She's barely in it at all.
It's like a locked room mystery kind of thing where
yeah.
there's no run...
Yeah.
Because there's nowhere to run.
Yeah, and what was cool is that Lana got cast as the hostess, and I was cast as Val, and of course Bethany here was cast as Skye, and
incredible.
That was the character that had to repeat everything after the Doctor, and Adam was our director, so it was super awesome to do that. But yeah, the rehearsals were stressful because it was, if you've seen the episode, which we highly recommend you do, it is on Netflix.
Do.
It's one of my favorites.
It.
You don't even have to be a Doctor Who fan to enjoy this episode.
My husband saw the production last night. He's not into science fiction of any type.
Really?
Well, he totally faked me out when I first met him because he said he liked original Star Trek.
He
and
lied.
I found out later
he
liked the social commentary because he was a journalist.
Oh,
screw that!
Oh, but anyways, yeah, even my folks who never saw it loved it, but...
they've never seen Doctor Who?
Well, they'd seen
the old
it,
ones,
but
maybe?
I mean, they
old
hadn't
ones.
Seen the episode, and
okay.
when they watched it, they loved it, but the show was very intense, and the lines have to be word-perfect because the character Skye has to repeat things so much, and so it was stressful not only to be in the moment with the emotions, but then
but
also like, what the hell's my line?
And we have to rely on each other
yes.
and just trust each other, and so I think that definitely heightens... It just heightens the drama in itself. Just having to depend on other actors to make sure that they're not paraphrasing.
Yeah. Well, not even. You know, you have to be syllable perfect.
Perfect. Syllable mm-hmm. perfect.
That one of your castmates is depending on you to be that perfect.
Did we say that
really
we have
incredible?
That there's a whole like 10-minute sequence where they're talking simultaneously.
No,
did
we
say
haven't
that?
Yet.
Yeah.
But
it's
intense.
Yeah.
Well, it was incredible.
And for me, because
Okay, so we ended up taking a very different take on my character.
Well,
than
we took a different take on most of the characters.
Except for the Doctor, yeah.
Well, right, but you had to transfer it to stage.
Because you got
to
adapt.
Stage.
Yes.
Yeah, you have
so,
to adapt.
Yeah, by the time, you know, you're like two-thirds of the way through the show, I mean, the tension literally is in your shoulders, and your breathing has changed.
Oh,
and,
right.
And you're breathing, you know, hard, fast.
Well, hello again, Jason. No, Jason, incredible. Who was just, you know, hanging out with her.
It's my empty glass. Thank you for bringing me my empty glass.
Okay, let's keep going.
It would have been more lovely if it
had some
full
crap in it. We need
but
no corkscrew for the
no,
crap.
No corkscrew for the crap.
Oh,
anyways,
right.
Well, now, what I think is enjoyable is your company is called Boxed Wine Theater, which, of course, we love. And why did you come up with that title?
Yes.
Well, Boxed Wine in itself, we wanted to go with the wine theme because, you know, theater originated in Greece with the Festival of Dionysus, who was also the god of wine. Wine, as
and
well as
revelry.
Theater. Right. And so we decided
job,
to go with...
Lana. Oh, thank you!
Yeah,
thank you for
pull that at theater history. Thank
out
you.
Of mine.
Okay, so, yeah, and so, but we decided to go with the idea of box wine theater because we are extremely low budget, and we make mm-hmm. it a point to do all of our productions on an extremely low budget because it forces you to not rely on spectacle...
Ooh.
And to it, come up and so to be
to
innovative.
Be innovative, yeah, actually, yeah.
Well,
I mean,
yeah,
just think
true.
In the sense of like, I mean, by no means do we compare ourselves to George Lucas, but in the sense of like, in the beginning, in Star Wars, he didn't have a budget, so
yeah.
he had to be creative with it. The new
kind
ones.
Kind of like Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Right,
exactly.
Yeah.
They threw some models at a light and went, okay, that's it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, and look at now. Now he has unlimited money, and look mm-hmm. what happens. Or I mean, you can see that with any.
Yeah.
I would say just any Broadway shows, films.
Mm-hmm.
But we feel it's yeah, just like it does. You know, it forces you to be innovative and see
mm-hmm.
what can we come up with as an alternative. And
right.
we found that to be just yeah, we think it's very important just to go about it that way.
Well, you guys are fantastic.
You are.
Well,
yeah,
thank you.
This was so much fun.
Well, A Modest Proposal, which
yeah,
I saw.
Did you
guys did?
Okay.
Yep, which went up in 2013
mm-hmm.
in
November.
November.
Yes. Thank you.
I was. Okay, I actually.
And Modest Proposal was a spoof on the Jonathan Swift Modest Proposal that he wrote that if you're starving, you should probably just eat your babies. And we played an Irish family, actually took it literally and ate our babies. And Adam wrote it and Bethany directed. So I'm
and
sorry, Lana, go on.
I saw the show. And you're not going to see the review. It went somewhere else, but other people saw it. Let me just...
Your review?
Let's put it that way. Steve and I laughed all the way through it, and I remember writing, anyone who can make me laugh for that long about something that's so egregiously awful, eating children,
yeah.
really deserves a prize.
At both of us, our day jobs, Adam works at a daycare as a toddler teacher, and I am a nanny.
Well, now I'm seeing where your impetus
day job,
came
day job,
from.
Day job, day job, day job, day job.
But I would also like to say that Dawn and the rest of the cast absolutely sold me. That was so much fun, so... When I get this text from Don, you like Doctor Who, don't you?
Yes.
Why do you ask? Well, there's this thing.
And then it became, you know, Doctor Who episode of Midnight at the Console Room. So you guys are taking off to New York.
Yep.
Which
oh.
is sad.
Yeah.
We are excited
so
for you. We're happy for you, but we're very sad to lose you. When do you guys actually leave?
We are leaving in November of this year.
End of October, November. Yep.
Yes.
Wow. So it's after Fringe Festival.
Yep.
Because
it will
you
be
guys,
after Fringe.
You guys have a show for Fringe.
Yeah.
What is that called?
That is Miniature Horses Don't Go to Heaven and other plays inspired by real news headlines.
It's a long, long title.
Wow, that is a long title.
Fringies love that.
Yes, it's written by Adam.
Aww.
I will be directing it.
Yay.
It's a remount. And actually, like the next three shows that we're doing, well, technically one of the shows Cody's producing, but
cool.
And that's Skeleton Key Productions.
Yeah, and
there's
and
company.
He's producing WTF in the Garden of Eden, which actually was the first show that Cody. Or where we met Cody.
Who was another cast member in Midnight.
And,
Modest Proposal.
Yep.
Yeah. But
yes,
we're doing that. And then, we're doing those two shows for Fringe. And then she and I are doing a show called Tom and Kelly Adopt an Asian Baby, which, again, is another remount that we did a couple years ago that But we weren't in it originally. She directed it, I wrote it, but I really wanted us to have the chance just to do it. It's a two-person show.
Cool.
And it's great because this gives us a chance to really look at the scripts again, all three scripts one more time, and really get to polish them up again before we really try to send them out and get them published and address the world.
And I think just perfecting these scripts and making them as... just making them as good as we possibly can. We're always working stuff. We're always rewriting things. Mm-hmm. We always think we can make things better. And so, with these scripts, there's no exception. So, but doing that, I think that sort of it's going to be sort of a we're spreading ourselves a little bit thin because yes, we're doing August shows with the Fringe Festival, two of them, and then we're doing...
2 weeks later, we're doing...
Yes, we're doing September with Tom and Kelly Adopt an Asian Baby, but it's sort of our... they're some of our favorite shows that we've gotten to do here, and it's sort of a farewell.
A bon voyage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To the Twin Cities, because we love the Twin Cities theater
Absolutely.
Community.
Yeah.
Well, let's go. Well, we wish you certainly the best.
We're
horribly sad to lose you guys. And, I mean, I wish you success, but kind of wish you fail so you come back.
Yes!
But in the most loving way possible.
Only because we want you back.
So thank you for being guests on our console episode of Screw It.
Well, thank
and
you.
Here, what's the toast that we did based on the episode?
Shumble, bobble, dibble, dooble.
Push! Hi again, it's Dawn from the podcast Screw It, and sadly, we don't actually have any wine right now because it's like, what, it's only 2 o'clock in the afternoon?
I guess.
It doesn't feel appropriate. But anyways, I'm here in the dealer room of Console, and I have with me the fabulous...
Leanne Olson.
Also known as Geeky Anna, according to her badge. And you do primarily, like, t-shirts and...
Yeah, I do screen printing.
Screen printing. That's a way better way to describe it.
Yeah.
And how long have you been doing this?
Well, I actually learned when I was a little kid because my dad's been doing it for, like, 30 years.
Yeah?
35 years, I think.
Wow.
And so he always used to do it in our basement, and he had a little business, and I ran his business for several years, and I learned how to do screen printing. And
oh, wow.
When I worked for them, they said... Hey, we don't pay you very much. If you ever want to make your own designs, you should do that. So I took them up on it, as you can see.
Well, that's cool. And you, one thing I've noticed about you, because I've run into you in a couple of convention dealer rooms, is that you focus a lot specifically on which convention you are at, and you tailor all of your product for it.
Well, I do what I can.
Yeah, but still.
I do have a lot of Doctor Who stuff.
Which is fantastic.
It's kind of overwhelming, the shop.
No.
But I don't have a problem with it.
Well, and you have... Now, do you design all of your Doctor Who stuff?
Mm-hmm.
No, you personally do it.
Yeah.
Hey there, Daniel.
Right there.
Oh, God. Oh, Daniel just came up to me, and he pointed a banana at me. And I think I'm traumatized. But he brandished it in a threatening way. And now I'm disconcerted. Now we need to really go drink more wine.
Yes.
Yes, and then we'll be fine. So I'm looking at some of your designs, especially, like, back there, the two TARDISes with, like...
We call it the mirror henna design.
Mirror henna. I'm like, I don't want to call it fleur-de-lis, but
no.
It's, yeah, that makes perfect sense. And so you design all of this stuff yourself, and then...
John, my husband, designs some of them.
Oh, cool.
Also, when
awesome.
I allow him to.
When you give him permission.
Yes.
When you allow him to run things.
I told him I wanted to do this wordy women design. This is all women of fiction.
Oh.
But it's of a technical nature that I don't really... do. I said, hey, you're the Photoshop guy. Here's what I want. I want all of these names. It's like over 200 names, and I want them to form the Venus symbol.
Oh, yeah.
So
it's beautiful.
I told him, do it, and he did it, and it's great.
So now, do you have competitions between the two of you? Like, whose designs sell the most?
Because
I would totally do that.
Help but do that sometimes. But it's more of the perspective, like, we make something that we really, really love. And it's like, I don't know if anybody's going to get this, but I love it so much.
Yeah.
And then when it doesn't sell, you're like,
no.
I suck. I'm so bad, you know. But... then when it does start to sell, then it's more like, we're like, see, no, you're fine, you're good.
We're talented, you know, we're smart.
My stuff sells more than yours, but that's okay, you're fine, you're fine.
So when it comes to, like, t-shirts, and I know people are coming up to your booth, and so I don't want to, like, scare them away.
It's okay.
But here's back to my question. When it comes to selling the stuff, what color t-shirt seems to sell the most?
Well, this is the only black t-shirt I have because I consciously have stayed away from that because there's plenty of that in the world.
Yeah, there's tons of it.
So
And I'm wearing a black t-shirt, yeah, and it's a black nerd shirt, so, of course.
If that's popular, and that's good, but, yeah, like, I just really wanted there to be more.
I
think there, but there's a lot of blue, obviously.
Blue's good.
So, I think there's a lot of blue, but then other people get excited that there's more colors than black and blue.
I mean, you have greens and roses, and...
Usually, I'm using the shirt as a part of the design, too.
Oh, that's
so it kind of depends on...
Oh, yeah. I see that now. Now that I'm looking at one of your TARDIS designs, and it's a... royal blue on a light blue, and it really makes the TARDIS look TARDIS-ier.
That's how my brain works, and that's just a feature of having done it for a long time.
That's cool. Well, thank you. Thank you for, you know, taking some time, and I know you got a bunch of people, you know, piling up, so well, good luck
at
the convention, and we'll see you at Convergence. Are you at the dealer room there?
Yes, we are.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you very much, and I hope you get a glass of wine later today.
I hope so, too.
Yay, thank you.
Thanks.
And so that wraps up Screw It, a podcast about wine convention episode, where we had very, very little wine, but we had lots of nerdy fun, and we got to talk to some really cool people. So we will be next at Convergence, one of the most awesomest conventions in the world. And we do want to give a big hats off to the console staff. First time convention, I think it looks really good. It's a lot of fun. Everyone is really, really friendly, and ConSuite did a really good job feeding us. So that's where I'm going. Back to ConSuite for more foods. Until next time, wine improves with age, we improve with wine, and now we're going to go drink. Bye.